How many of you know this song? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Oh, you know it. Okay. Now, the question I have is that there's a whole bit of routine there. You can, what is it? You can snap your fingers. You could say, shout amen. You could stomp your feet. But you know what? We don't have a song that's about what happens if you're angry. If you're angry and you know it. Ugh! What's that? Oh, it's called rock music. Oh, okay. All right. When you think about it, we really don't have a song that helps kids to be able to know what it is to be angry. We just know that when we're young and we can't do something we want to do, we get upset. We get angry. We start to cry. We may even do a temper tantrum, you know. Boy, do I remember those days. Not when I did it. Of course, I was a perfect child. But, I can remember when my sons were young, and particularly my oldest one. I mean, just in the middle of a story, he just would suddenly go off in this ballistic, you know, roar, and everybody knew he was in the store. And it was just, you know, well, that's just the way kids are. And you try to get them to understand, you know, it's okay to be angry, but there's, you know, places that's appropriate to do that and places that aren't. But it's almost as if we kind of have to reinvent the wheel. Every time that there's anger that goes on, even for us, you know, I, as an older person, had a hard time being able to express my anger because I grew up in a family that didn't do that very well. In fact, it was more of a passive-aggressive kind of a living, which was not a very comfortable style. But, you know, we just weren't good at expressing our anger. And so we just kind of pushed it down, and of course it comes out in other ways, which isn't healthy. But you see, that's part of the problem, is that a lot of times we're not able to talk about or to be able to be visibly upset and to share it in a way that's healthy. It's the same thing with grieving. It seems like our culture just doesn't know how to grieve as well. We're getting better at it, but it's still not great. You know, when visiting with parishioners after there's been the death of a loved one, and it's like, well, what do we do now? And so they ask, you know, how do we do these things or what needs to go on? And it's at this point, you think we would all have this understanding of what happens and how do we express our feelings, our grief. There are cultures that are good at that. I mean, if you've ever been to an African-American funeral, it's an amazing event. And then other cultures around the world are able to express in a very healthy way. But we're not real good about it. So when Jesus begins to speak in the gospel reading today about being angry towards each other, there's something to that. Because we just kind of mouth off, and whatever comes to mind, we don't even think about what's connected with that. You know, it's just, we're just angry at the moment, and whatever comes out of that mouth, you know, sometimes it can be really hurtful and damaging to the person that we say that to. And that person may never talk to us again. They may, or they may be different with us. And is it any wonder? Because we don't always connect here and here. Sometimes it just comes from here, and sometimes it just comes from here. We can also logically speak our anger. And that can even just be as harsh and difficult as well. It's as if we don't even acknowledge the other person's feelings in the process. It's like, well, I'm angry right now, so I don't need to talk to you. Just go away. Today, it really is about how we connect here and here together as we express our faith, as we live it out in Jesus's, as we are followers of Jesus. What happens is a lot of times that we disconnect. The moment we walk out the doors, it's kind of like everything we've talked about this morning as we learned about prayer in our gift Sunday today and the many expressions in which we have ways of prayer. It's almost as if the moment we walk out the door, we forget about the fact, oh, there are ways that we can pray that are creative and wonderful, and some that we can connect with better than others. We don't all have to pray the same. It's just the idea of being able to connect with God and to communicate. It's the same thing with how we experience today's worship. When we leave from this place, are we able to make the connection with the rest of our life? Jesus sees with his followers that there's a disconnect. There's this kind of a superficial understanding of what it means to believe. You know, and when we talk in the Gospel of John, we know that John kind of brings us deeper in the gospel because it starts up here, and the more that Jesus asks us questions, we find ourselves digging deeper and deeper, and then suddenly we're at the realization of, oh, wow, that's what he means. In the Beatitudes, we kind of look at Jesus, and we hear him saying all these things about blessed are the poor, you know, blessed are those who hunger, all those things that are spoken, and we just hold them here, but we don't really bring them to heart. And as we continue with this message from the Mount, he's speaking to those around him who seem to have this understanding that with the commandments, you know, we have this idea that it's a checklist. It's a thing that we have to do because God gives it to us and says, therefore, that, you know, you need to, you know, honor your mother and father, you know. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Do not covet. No. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. All these commandments are meant for a purpose, and the initial three that we have to do with our relationship with God, and the remainder have to do with our relationships with each other. And it's something that we need to have in order to live in community and to do the things that Jesus asks us to do. To be able to follow the basis of his commands. You know, of all the commandments, he brings them down to those two that we repeat over and over again about loving God with all our heart and soul and mind, and then loving our neighbors as ourself. And these things help that to be in order, in the sense of if we didn't have it, we'd live in chaos. Can you imagine just the fact that, you know, whatever we wanted, we just take from each other, you know? So, you know, I want John's chair over here. So, John, get out of the way. Let me sit here. No, don't. You know, or, you know, I like your name tag, Lynn. Can I have it, please? See, you're a nice guy. You would do that, okay? But for me just to take it isn't right. It means that I have no respect for the person that I'm talking to, and that I don't have this appreciation for what it means to be in community. So when Jesus is trying to get his disciples and you and I to take this to a deeper understanding, it's more than just a checklist. It's God's desire for us to live with him and with each other in this community that celebrates his love for all of us. It's not meant to be a list of don'ts or whatever else, you know. And to be honest with you, we could go over that list and just like we did with the Beatitudes, and we could say, oh, we fit this right here, this here. That's not what it's about at all. What he's saying is, listen to the words and take them to heart. And so he starts to talk about, you know, some basic things when it comes to our relationships. You know, the fact that we're not to murder and that we'll be liable to judgment if we do commit that. That's part of the law. We understand that. There are consequences to our actions. But he takes it a step further and saying that, you know, if you are angry, can you imagine that? If you are angry, you are also liable for judgment. Now, granted, we get angry about a lot of different things, and it's something that we even get angry at God, don't we? I know I get angry with God. And I think God has broad enough shoulders to handle my anger or anybody else's. But the idea here is where that anger emanates from and who it is that if that anger is directed, and are we looking at trying to hurt that person because perhaps maybe we were hurt by them. Revenge is not a part of our agenda. Nor is it permissible for us to call out each other by name. And boy, I'll tell you, in Washington, D.C., that's a pretty appropriate thing to do right now. And we do it all the time. None of us are perfect with that, and there are times that, you know, we call out to somebody about this or that or whatever else, and to say that you're a fool. But see, again, Jesus is saying you're assassinating the character of the person that you're talking about. that we should be someone that is concerned for all who are in the community, not just for a select few. And then he goes on and he talks about adultery and divorce. Do you really think that Jesus is saying to us about the fact that, you know, if this happens, that we are better off that we remove our a member of our body in order that we don't commit sin? I don't think Jesus is saying that we should do that, and please don't. But he's saying with all seriousness that these things should be connected between what's here and here. That when you do those kinds of things, you are disrespecting the individuals that are involved. For the Jewish males of Jesus' day, all they needed to do was issue a piece of paper. And we also know that in older days that the men could just shout out, I divorce you 3 times. And that's all there was to it. That's all there was to a relationship. And Jesus is saying there's much more to that than just simply a script. Do people get divorced? Of course they do. I'm one of them. And I don't wish it on anyone. It's a very painful experience. It's a death. And also, it wasn't just, and realizing it's just not about me or my former spouse. It's also about my children. It's also about my family. It's also about my friends. It's also about those whom I serve, and in whatever context that I serve as a pastor, it's also concerns the entire community. That's why it's something that impacts all of us, and this idea that it's just about me, so why should anybody else care? Well, that's just not the right perception. Somewhere there's a disconnect in our thinking. And when we live in a society such as we do in the United States, it's kind of this me-first attitude, and Jesus is saying, no, it's not. That's not at all how you're supposed to live. In order to gain in life, one must lose one's life. In order to that you lose one's life, that's how you gain. And then the last thing he addresses is that whole attitude about swearing. He's not talking about four-letter words here. But what he's talking about is the idea that when you say something, you say it from the heart. Again, it's a connection between heart and mind, and that we understand fully that when we are asked something and we respond, we do it because that's how we believe it to be, whether we agree or not. And there are times that get so frustrating. You can sit down and you can talk to people and you're trying to explain things and then you want another response and to listen, and sometimes they shake their head yes when really they mean no. But they don't have the courage or the ability to say that. But doesn't that say something about us as a people? That we can't trust the reaction of our brothers and sisters if we disagree? Or we just walk away instead of taking time to explain ourselves to each other? That's the disconnect. Jesus is saying that you don't need to swear on anything. In fact, don't swear at all. He's saying that let your word be yes or no, because you are my followers. It shouldn't be necessary to put your hand on a Bible. And I'm not about to say that you shouldn't do this if you go to court. But he's saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That you are always expected to be truthful. Now with kids, it's a little different. You know, from the first point that they can learn that they can kind of manipulate things and get away from getting in trouble, they learn very easily, you know. Did you put that mark on the wall with a crayon? Oh, no. That happened with my oldest son, and it was this terrible wallpaper that was in the bedroom of the first parsonage we lived in. It was all peeling off anyway, but it was this Holly Hobby stuff. And we went walking in one day, and there he is holding a crayon in his hand. And there's J-O-N. His name is Jonathan. And it's John all over the wall. Did you write this? No. The other one I like is with my younger son, who somehow got a hold of a bottle of dish detergent and had apparently you know, opened it up a little bit because we said, did you swallow that? And when he said no, a bubble popped out of his mouth. Kids do that. I understand. They need to learn, and that's part of the responsibility. And I wonder what it is they learn from us today as we interact with each other and the way they see society act with each other. We talk about a Jesus that loves us. We talk about a God that cares so much for us. He gives us these laws so that we're able to live in abundance and live with one another, and also without fear or retribution, that, you know, we all understand there are times that we can't agree, and there are times that there are things that I would like that I cannot have that you may have. And though I can celebrate that with you, I don't necessarily need it. Each of us live according to our means. But each of us also live in the love of Christ. And that's what that's all about. That's what Jesus is saying today. It's about the moment that you walked in this door that you were expecting something, and you should expect something marvelous or magnificent to happen. Not that you're going to be entertained, not because there's going to be great music, or not because there's going to be a fantastic message that you're going to go home with, not because the congregation just was interacting like crazy and the roof was coming off because we were singing so loud, but because the expectation is that we come here because we are reminded that God forgives us in the midst of all the things that we've done, and that God ultimately loves us. That's it. That's the expectation. And that what I take from that, I connect it with the fact that, you know, it goes beyond my understanding why God would even love an individual like me. But he does. And from the moment that my parents brought me to the baptismal font at First Lutheran Church in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, to be baptized was the first moment, and my little mind wasn't even able to comprehend that. All I have is a certificate that says this happened. But I know as I've grown older that by doing that, God has embraced me as one of his own, and that he lifts me up, and that he tells me, this is the way I expect you to live your life. And even when you fail, I will still love you for who you are. And I want you to take that love. And just like my servant Paul and all those who have gone before us have planted the seeds in each other, that's what I ask that you do too. You cannot make a person believe, but you certainly can get them to hear by the actions in which we take and by the words in which we speak, that we are people who are compassionate and loving and forgiving. And that rest of the world that's out there needs to hear it. And they need to hear it now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now. We need to hear it now. And you are. So in a few moments, you have a chance to respond as you offer up prayers to God. And once again, share with him all your cares and concerns. And then on top of that, to come and be privileged to be offered this gift of his son, that says, I love you, to each of us. And to take it out and to know that we have the strength from within that we can do anything in the name of Christ. Don't let anyone else out there tell you that God's love doesn't matter. Because it matters. It matters to the whole world. And it starts here. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. And let your mind and your heart be connected as one, not to yourself, but in Christ. Amen.